You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, February the 16th, and the Blake Griffin tribute episode. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well, joined on a Tuesday by brother Brian in a extra special bonus episode that we weren't even planning to do.
Hey, what are we doing here? You told me I had the day off today.
Unbelievable. RockAuto.com is the place to go after you listen to this episode, or you can pause it right now and check out amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. Today, all things Blake Griffin. We're going to start in the present. What's going on? What's the situation right here? Kind of how did we get here? Look at the future. I'm going to throw some scenarios at Brian of maybe some last gasp trade possibilities that Troy Weaver might be looking at and see what brother Brian thinks about them. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give brother Brian a follow on Twitter at @BShook12, and also the Play Michigan Twitter account, @Play_Michigan. But let's get to the news right away. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com. I'll read the lead, just like an old newspaper reporter should. Six-time NBA All-Star forward Blake Griffin and the Detroit Pistons have agreed that he will be out of the lineup until the franchise and his representatives work through a resolution on his playing future, Pistons general manager Troy Weaver told ESPN. Pause right there. Very interesting that this is not inside sources. There is a Troy Weaver statement that says, after extensive conversations with Blake's representatives, it has been determined that we will begin working to facilitate a resolution regarding his future with the team that maximizes the interest of both parties. We respect all the effort Blake has put forth in Detroit in his career, and we will work to achieve a positive outcome for all involved. In a statement, Griffin told ESPN, "I am grateful to the Pistons for understanding what I want to accomplish in my career and for working together on the best path forward," end quote. Brian, does this sound like Matthew Stafford and the Lions to you a little bit in some ways?
Well, I haven't been hearing about it for the last 5 years, so no. But, yeah, it does. It seems like a player went to management and said, I'm not, you know, part of the future here. I don't want to sit here and go through whatever parts of a rebuild are going to be here in the next year and a half. And I'd like to go see if the grass is greener on the other side and maybe – you know, end my career on a high note, something to, you know, validate or put on the resume as I am in the sunset of Blake's NBA career. So, yeah, I think it's a player taking the steering wheel of his own career and, you know, making a decision that's right, that's best for him. It's best for the Pistons, and it allows the Pistons to move on from, you know, it wasn't a successful chapter, you know, by the quantifiables, but Blake gave everything here. Blake will always be appreciated in the city. I hope he knows that. It's tough to tell without crowds in the stands that, you know, we're able to show the love to some of these guys and how exciting unexpectedly exciting they've made this winter for us. But yeah, I think they looked across Woodward, saw the saga going on at Ford Field, and wanted to win some back pages.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the most important thing, is to get the headlines here in Detroit and get Wojo and Mitch Albom to be writing about you. But I'm glad you said it about the appreciation for Blake Griffin. I was kind of going through notes here, trying to figure out what all to say, and meant earlier to mention the spiel about, hey, we love Blake Griffin here in Michigan. We appreciate the way that he handled being traded here, the positive things he says about Detroit, the workmanlike effort he has on the court, the playing through the injuries, the possibly derailing his career by dragging his leg during the Bucks series in the playoffs. Just a lot. Blake Griffin is always welcome at the Coney's in downtown Detroit. He's got Mackinac Island fudge on me for the rest of his life. He's got Faygo for life. I think they'll probably come through with something. So anything he needs for Michigan, as far as I'm concerned, A-OK with me. I tweeted earlier, probably a near 100% approval rating in terms of how he conducted himself. Now, the play obviously isn't there right now. Just to reset, Blake Griffin signed a big five-year, $200-plus million contract with the Clippers. And before that first season was over of those 5 years, was traded to Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons, and had kind of a decent end to that season for his standards. He was missing a lot of threes, but kind of working back from some injuries he had had earlier the season with the Clippers. Then he had the magical 18-19 season after a healthy summer, was all NBA third team, drugged the Pistons to the playoffs where they lost in four to the Bucks. And then last season was a full season that he was with the team, but he was only in the lineup for a handful of games in January, February, missed the beginning of the season, missed the end of the season, had the knee surgery to end his season as well. But the word was that he was having a healthy offseason coming into the fourth year of that contract this year. And it just obviously wasn't working out so well. He wasn't being productive like we were accustomed to. He's healthy enough. I mean, he's playing night in and night out, other than some back-to-backs here and there. But the word coming out on Monday that the time appears to be over for Blake Griffin and the Pistons. He's got the player option of coming up this year, this summer, that is for $39 million next season. So he's due, prorated this year, over $55 million guaranteed. And we talked about this earlier this year, that this was a huge challenge for the Pistons to try to make this work, right? He's not the type of player right now who can just be, and doesn't really make sense to be just standing in the corner, not good enough shooter and too good of a doing other things offensively, but he's also so ball dominant that he kind of needs the ball in his hands to be the type of player that he is, but he's not the number one option anymore. And certainly he's not a defensive presence that's helpful in really any way for you, other than some good communication and being in the right spot most of the times. Weren't able to find any minutes for him at the small ball five, which is something that I was hoping we'd see. We saw it on Friday a little bit. They got the win against the Boston Celtics with Plumlee out of the lineup and, of course, Okafor out as well. But this was a hard challenge for Dwayne Casey. And I think at the end of the day, the chasm between – now, if Blake Griffin was making $15, even $20 million this year, you could probably figure something out. But the chasm between making $36 million and some team finding out a way to make it happen. Now, I'll throw some trades at you next segment about some possibilities if you're a Pistons fan and want to think it over, because there's some negatives and some positives that come along with all of these trades that I'll throw at you. Not trades, but just contracts that might be a starting point of getting there for Blake Griffin. Now, let's stop right there. This is Matt Shook from the future, interrupting Matt Shook from the past, and just want to let you know that we went a little long on this one. We're going to turn this into a two-part episode, so the second part will be going up tomorrow. We're going to continue here, and up after the break, Brian's going to tell us what his thoughts are about how the Pistons got here and how there's some positives for Troy Weaver into how they've gotten themselves into the Blake Griffin conundrum. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first, got to tell you guys about our friends at rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and the prices you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at rockauto.com. They're always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. And your boy Matt on today's episode talking Blake Griffin with Peter. Check it out. But you made a point before we started recording about this Pistons team this year and Troy Weaver. How did we get here in that regard, and what were the moves that were made and the development maybe quickly in a lot of cases that got us to this point where Blake Griffin maybe needs to be moved on, not only for his benefit to go play for a winner, but for the Pistons' benefit to build what they're building right now.
Well, you said it. It was the quickness of the development of some of the moves that Troy Weaver made. First and foremost, let's look at Jeremy Grant, the number one option, proves he can be a number one option on a competitive NBA basketball team. I think the last couple games he's hit kind of a shooting slump, but overall it's been, you know, a very good move by Troy Weaver bringing him in. Some other very good moves that Troy Weaver decided over the offseason to bring in were two of the draft picks in Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey. These guys have developed at a somewhat but significant more quick pace than I think that would have been expected. I think that you probably expected Sadiq Bey to hopefully at the end of this year start getting into the rotation and, you know, pushing your minutes up into the 20-25 minute range, and then that would have allowed you this offseason to make this decision about Blake Griffin possibly. But Sadiq Bey showed just on Friday night exactly what he's capable of, and now Blake is just becoming a roadblock for Sadiq Bey's development. Then you throw in another big man with Isaiah Stewart, who's proven he belongs here in the NBA. And his development, which you thought maybe would have taken an extra year because of his youth, because of, you know, his lack of offensive adeptness, you know, right away coming into the NBA, it's developed more, and his energy has just forced him to get into the rotation and get more minutes. So with those two things happening, you needed to open up minutes. And the least productive player most nights for the Pistons, oddly, is Blake Griffin. Not even worrying about the contract, he's the person that is eating up a ton of minutes that his play doesn't dictate it. Now, it looks like in big games he gears up and has, you know, good games against your Lakers. And you made the point earlier that he's been in 6 of the 8 wins this year as well. So maybe this is a way to make sure, hey, maybe we're winning a couple too many games than we expected. Let's pump the brakes on that as well. As, you know, Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey are going to go through rookie pains. They're going to hit a wall at some point because that's what happens to rookies. So having Blake there maybe ekes you out a couple more wins, and it's becoming a little maybe closer than you expected through these first 6 weeks to getting out of that bottom group of teams. So there are just a lot of things that you look at that having Blake here isn't helping the development of the youth. It isn't helping the fact that he's assisting in a couple more wins than we expected at this point in the season. And he's a proud guy. He knows what it looks like on the court most nights. So I know he isn't comfortable with that. And I expect he isn't comfortable with that. And it's just time for, you know, him to look in the mirror and decide what his future holds for him and what is important for him for the rest of this contract and his NBA career.
Talking Blake Griffin and the Pistons, I was remiss that I didn't mention that the Pistons are not playing tonight. They were supposed to play Tuesday night, tonight in Little Caesars Arena against the San Antonio Spurs, but as was reported and then immediately swallowed up by the Blake Griffin news and forgotten by most Piston fans, including myself, there's some contact tracing issues with the San Antonio Spurs, and the Pistons game is postponed. So they will not be playing tonight. They will be going out south, I guess, to Wednesday night to play in Dallas against the Dallas Mavericks. So that will be the next game, and we will look ahead to the Mavericks on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Pistons. But, of course, the big question with Blake Griffin, and Brother Brian is joining us here for Tuesdays with Brian, I guess a very special episode of Tuesdays with Brian. Trade or buyout, right? Now, at first blush, if you're a Pistons fan, you want to trade, right? Because you don't want the dead money next year, whatever that's going to be, and you also want to get something in return. So that would be, at first blush, what you would want. However, I'm kind of here to tell you that be careful what you wish for, because Blake Griffin, it's 1.5 years that's left on the deal. It's over $55 million. So you've got to have an anchor of a return in a trade. Now, we could get multiple teams involved here, and I do have one kind of cooking up in my head of a multi-team deal of one that I'll kind of get into here. But does it, you know, the player that's going to be the anchor in the return for Blake Griffin is also going to be a high contract, obviously, and it's probably going to be also a negative contract, not as much of a negative value as Blake's is because his value is so out of whack right now, but it will be a longer contract, right? It'll probably be someone that has two full seasons, maybe even three full seasons left on their deal. If you're Troy Weaver, do you want to take on long-term money on a distressed asset as opposed to saying, we'll take a really big hit on, of course, the rest of this year's salary cap and next year's salary cap, but then still have that fresh start that would have happened even if you had Blake Griffin play out the rest of his deal. So, and the other question out there is, do you attach things? We saw some reports over the weekend, Sam Amick of The Athletic, talking about how the Pistons were in business. I believe it was Sam Amico, who writes down in the Cleveland area. There was some, I think James had something on The Athletic this morning before the reports came out that said he thought it was unlikely that Blake would get dealt. And I know that Pistons Twitter seemed to think that that wasn't the smart deal either, but I brought it up on yesterday's show because what they were talking about in terms of attaching an asset and moving on from Blake Griffin, that seemed a lot like more like Troy Weaver than sitting here and waiting a year and a half for Blake Griffin to finish. I mean, this is a guy who empties the clip. We know about Troy Weaver and his aggressiveness, which is a good thing to an extent, obviously. And I thought that it made sense that Troy Weaver was going to want to rectify the situation, however it was going to be rectified, as opposed to having Blake Griffin. And again, from Blake's perspective, which is probably more important in this whole thing, we talked about the Pistons and we'll continue to talk about the Pistons, but it's probably more Blake looking at his career, looking at his body, looking at his age and thinking to himself, you know, how much time do I have? How much can I contribute to possibly getting that ring, making a deep playoff run? It's never been in a conference finals, possibly get to an NBA finals as well. I just think that there's a lot. I think that that has a lot to do with it as well. And the Pistons are trying to kind of do right by him in some ways, which makes, if there's a buyout negotiation, that even more interesting and multifaceted. I'm going to throw some trades at Brian here in a second. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
It's Bang the Over Brother Brian, and you know what I'm here to talk to you about. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
But Brian, you know, there's Svi and Sekou are out there. There's also, you know, you don't want to touch next year's first round pick, but
no.
Assuming the Pistons are on a good upward trajectory, and we saw that Troy Weaver was willing to deal a protected first to Houston this past year in the Ariza deal, maybe a pick 3, 4, 5 years down the road is something that he'd be willing to attach. Now, Svi Mykhailiuk's from an old administration. Sekou Doumbouya was not drafted by Troy Weaver as well. So I think that there's a way to make Blake's value closer to zero from wherever it is the negative right now if you attach some of these assets. But let me throw out a couple of names to you as players that could be anchors in deals with Blake Griffin. And two of them that don't really make sense, but I kind of want to throw them out there just because, is Otto Porter makes big money in Chicago. He's injured right now. That's an expiring. That doesn't make any sense from Chicago's end in my mind. And you always have to throw out DeMar DeRozan when you're talking about Dwayne Casey and the Pistons. Expiring also at 27.7. Again, doesn't make a lot of sense from San Antonio's perspective. I don't think you can, because then you have to keep piling on the assets if you're saying DeRoz for Griffin. So that doesn't make a lot of sense for me too. But four teams that made a little bit of sense is, first of all, Golden State, right? Because the window is kind of closing with the core that they have, and Klay's injured again this year. You got Wiseman as kind of a glimpse to the future. Andrew Wiggins is out there. He's playing pretty well this year. And Draymond Green is out there. Wiggins, one extra year than Blake Griffin at a little bit less per. Draymond Green, two extra years on top of Blake Griffin and $52 million there. What do either of those names do for you, if anything, about this?
Andrew Wiggins this year, the way he's playing, does something for me. I would welcome him. Draymond, he'd be a good team leader, but I think, you know, you're probably going to have the same conversation in a year, year and a half if you bring on somebody like Draymond Green. He's not the player he once was. I don't think the fall off has been as significant, you know, as obviously drastic as Blake. But I wouldn't mind seeing somebody young and athletic like Andrew Wiggins being brought back. But like you had kind of mentioned earlier, next year's pick, I mean, we've already got it protected to Houston, but that's a non-starter for me, obviously. And anything in the next 2 years is really a non-starter.
Right.
Svi and Sekou being from other, you know, the previous administration, I'll be honest. I don't see where those two fit exactly in the chess piece of what, or the chessboard that Troy Weaver is putting together. Mm-hmm. I don't see, you know, we wanted to look at Dwayne Casey and talk about the development of Sekou and what, you know, how he's hindering him. But yet I look at somebody like Sadiq Bey, who is older and more experienced than Sekou, admittedly. But then you look at Isaiah Stewart, who's, you know, the same age. And these two guys have flourished under Dwayne Casey and his tutelage, bringing them along. So it leans more to me that it's Sekou being disengaged. Svi, he's a great complementary piece. I don't know where he exactly fits for a rebuilding team at this point. And, you know, his, especially last game, if he's able to keep up the hot shooting like he did last game, there's going to be an easier way to attach that to Blake and get that contract, you know, get that value back to zero at some point. So if it involves, you know, those two players or picks down the road, again, you're hoping that you're in that upward trajectory. So those picks are, you know, hopefully out of the lottery. I would hope there was what's in the plans. But if you're talking about Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green, I like what Andrew Wiggins could still potentially become, where Draymond Green, I think maybe we're having the same conversation that we're having about Blake, just kicking that can down the road a little bit more.
Yeah, I wonder if Golden State sees Draymond and sees kind of the where the offense has been slipping, the shooting has been slipping for him. They see that they kind of need to be thinking about the future. I know that Blake Griffin's a weird thing to be talking about with the future, but just in terms of Blake Griffin's contract being off the books next year and Draymond Green's contract extending two more years after that, Draymond kind of fits into what Troy Weaver's trying to build as a culture setter here. He's got the Michigan ties. And then maybe like Kevon Looney comes back to like Brooklyn in a three-teamer or something like that, because they're trying to get some pieces to be defensive in some regard, and they got to be thinking about some teams down the in the playoffs that they're going to be playing as well. That's just something that it's always kind of popped in my head is Draymond Green possibly being someone that Golden State wouldn't mind moving on from. I know it's sacrilegious, but because he's a champion there and everything, but like you could bring in a Griffin who can shoot it and can be offensive with your team, but also be clearing your books in the future as well. Just a thought there. Another name to kind of throw out there is D'Angelo Russell, Minnesota going nowhere. Also an extra year that you're taking on if you're Detroit, but if you like that pick and roll game that he brings, maybe that makes a little bit of sense as kind of the point guard next to Killian Hayes in the beginning of his development. Maybe DeLon gets sent with Blake Griffin and something like that. And then I'm looking at Dallas. How about Kristaps Porzingis? Again, a little bit of a negative value because of the – he just doesn't look the same. He doesn't look like the player that he was at the beginning of his career with the New York Knicks. Still very talented, still huge, got some foot and leg issues there, and, of course, the ACL that he had. Two extra years, $69 million after Blake Griffin's contract comes off the books. So, again, this is like Dallas trying to shake things up a little bit. It's obviously not quite working for them this year. Maybe Blake and Luka. And, again, you're getting out of Porzingis' deal. Now, this is one where you got to keep piling on the assets if you're Detroit to make this happen, because Porzingis is more valuable than Griffin. But that's just another contract that might start the discussion. And then, again, the one that we've kind of talked about before – and we'll probably continue to talk about, is Al Horford. in the Oklahoma City Thunder, because that's an extra year for the Pistons to take on. Horford's playing well right now. Oklahoma City's playing well right now, surprisingly. But Blake might be getting some butts in the seats for them next year. Yeah. And they're maybe playing too well right now for Sam Presti's liking. He's got all these picks. He wants to be high in the draft. Maybe Horford for Blake is like a stealth OKC tank, and that you can figure out a way to get Horford into the mix for Detroit, especially with Okafor out right now. And of course, that's a longer term play too. Maybe even send Plumlee on the move in a separate deal if Horford comes along. Do any of those moves make sense to you in any way, or are you kind of out on the trade market for Griffin and what could possibly be out there right now?
I have, for this entire season, focused on OKC as being involved, not necessarily the place he ends up, but the team that will most likely be involved in any type of transaction with Blake Griffin. I think the value for them, or for value for Blake for them, is going to be higher than any other NBA team. As we get to a post-COVID world, and selling tickets is a big deal again. Having the hometown guy come back to end his career in OKC seems like just kind of a storybook ending. I don't know how much Sam Presti puts into that. I don't know how much anybody in the equation puts into that. But to me, that seems like to OKC, Blake Griffin would have more value than on any other NBA team from the nostalgic part of it. And they have the largest trade exception in the history of the NBA also. So they'd be able to make the numbers work even, easier. And then you attach a big contract. And like you said, less of a negative contract, but still a negative contract with Al Horford. And it does turn into L's for OKC, because as well as they're playing, they're still not going to compete in the Western Conference. So they're kind of in that purgatory or limbo that the Pistons have kind of found themselves in the last two or three years of competing, but then doing too well to not be able to get the assets to further your franchise along. So that's the one that makes the most sense to me. The Kristaps Porzingis scenario you threw out there is kind of intriguing because of what you're looking at 2-3 years ago what Kristaps was, and hoping that he can regain that. OKC has always been my focus when it comes to Blake. It makes the most sense. They seem to have the most flexibility to be able to make some things work. So that would be the most likely and probably getting the best value back for Blake than any of the other scenarios that we're talking about.
So that's part one with me and brother Brian talking about trade possibilities with Blake Griffin. Want to be clear that what I believe is going to happen is that Blake will eventually get bought out by the Pistons, and that's going to be the topic that carries tomorrow's episode, which will be kind of part two of this episode, where I talk about what the buyout negotiation might be like for the Pistons and Blake Griffin, and also teams that might be interested in acquiring Blake Griffin on the buyout market. I've got a top five for Brian to dissect, all that good stuff. Brian did mention the Oklahoma City trade exception that they have that was created by the Steven Adams deal this past offseason. And then Boston actually made a bigger one with the Gordon Hayward deal when he ended up being in Charlotte instead. Those trade exceptions cannot be combined into deals, and they're not big enough to absorb Blake Griffin. So his $36 million this year is bigger than the 30-some-odd million-dollar exception that Boston has and the 27.5-ish million-dollar exception that Oklahoma City has. Now, can those trade exceptions be used to acquire lesser players to possibly initiate a stepladder type of move? Possibly. I don't know any off the top of my head, but that might be a possibility out there. Or could those trade exceptions be used as part of a three-team deal where maybe those teams acquire somebody who does fit into their trade exception, and then as part of the three-teamer, Blake gets shipped over to another team who can absorb the difference between the contract that they're sending out and the Pistons, whether it's through cap space or into the luxury tax. So a lot of complications with trades. I know about 80% of the stuff that you should know for maybe a podcast host, but hopefully we're kind of keeping the ball rolling and informing you. And as we talk about these possible anchors of contracts, keep in mind that if the Pistons trade for any of those players, they're going to probably have to sprinkle in assets to make the deal palatable for those teams, and then the Pistons have to weigh the cost of acquiring big money players for that are under contract for longer than Blake Griffin. So a lot to think about for Troy Weaver and a lot to dissect over the next couple days. And we'll continue to do that. And like I said, the buyout market with Blake Griffin will be the anchor of tomorrow's part two conversation, which will also serve as Wednesday's show. A lot of great stuff. Thought I had the day off today, but that didn't happen. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Thanks to Brother Brian for the chat. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys during the day, Wednesday afternoon for more, Tuesday afternoon for more Blake Griffin discussion.